Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. Now, last episode we talked a lot about Jupiter's influence because, of course, Jupiter has been highly active and it is the planet of abundance and expansion, and it is moving into Gemini. So this episode I want to talk about Gemini. Now, Gemini has obviously got two sides to it, multiple sides, really. And there is kind of the mainstream view of Gemini, which I'm going to go into, but also the more esoteric ideas behind this duality idea of Gemini. And I want to go into both, but obviously starting with the mainstream, and how much fun is Gemini? So when Jupiter moves into Gemini, we can be guaranteed things are going to lighten up a little. Gemini is the social butterfly, and so much opportunity for flirtatious fun and for good gossip, for good chats, good conversations, and where you actually get crucial information, not just like a chit-chat. Well, it can be also just the chit-chat, but really they're really good at the skinny. The Geminis are really good at the drop. And so, yeah, we're in for a lot more talking about things. And don't we just need that instead of cancel culture? Don't we need to sort of understand or listen to someone else's views without completely being offended or outraged, or understanding that people are coming from a whole variety of different views? And this is Jupiter in Gemini, hopefully allowing that expansion of ideas and that multifaceted, complex web of interaction and where we are all coming from to just come about. You know, Gemini can bring about these complex or detailed hypotheses and arguments, and Gemini can have us hopping from one side to the other. You can change your mind with Gemini. You really can. Or should I say with Jupiter in Gemini. And of course, Gemini rules all those short journeys. So I'm calling it out now. People, the mini break is back. I think it kind of went away during the pandemic. But now with Jupiter going into Gemini, who rules all those short journeys, and quick transfer, yeah, the mini break is back. And on top of that, this is the time to write your book. If there's the memoirs are kind of building in the background, this is the time to put pen to paper or typewriter. It's time to build your website, re-upgrade your tech. And perhaps we are going to see a few more launches, big ideas coming out of the tech field as Jupiter moves into Gemini here. And this isn't just from the big players. This will be, you know, the smaller ideas too. And ideas that we're maybe personally allowed to kind of employ rather than just big giant tech that's non-personal. And having said that, of course, social media is going to proliferate. And perhaps more than the media giants like in some way. It's going to be forming a much more central role in our lives or come into focus. And perhaps, you know, the addictions to our phones, we're going to have to talk about, we have to deal with those addictions. We do have to watch out for that. Can we resist it? And even more so, is 5G going to come into the picture a bit more? Because we've resisted and it hasn't kind of had the spread it's was sort of hailed to bring in. And perhaps we're going to be dealing with a bit more with the all-pervading Wi-Fi going through our brains and our homes and our lives, and maybe more information about what the effect of that actually is. I, for one, turn my Wi-Fi off at night because we don't want that 24/7. And I think with 5G, I don't think you get the possibility to make the choice. And I think that is the problem. We want choice. And maybe with Gemini, we also get more choice. And certainly there's quite a few countries around the world that are going to elections. There's a few in Africa and obviously not just America, which is obviously the big one. but also now the UK too, making that decision. And in that way, perhaps I'm feeling like this is just like two cheeks of the same arcs, you know, that this choice that we have to make. And are we going to be able to go beyond that decision to make a new choice in these elections that are coming up in the within the next year? And to see how this might play out, I wanted to look back at previous sort of big Gemini moments. And of course, in last episode, we talked about Jupiter in Gemini. And that was when I personally, and probably along with thousands of others, woke up to the fact that there isn't just one conspiracy theory of the inside job at the Twin Towers, 9/11, or that the CIA assassinated President Kennedy, or the moon landings, you know, that they were all connected. You know, there was this idea that came around then when Jupiter was in Gemini that tell the humans what you're going to do to them, and then you can do it because we have free will. We have to make our own choices, Jupiter in Gemini. And that kind of occurred with the opening ceremonies of the 2012 Olympics in London, which is, of course, one of the headquarters of the global elite, a power center. And here we are joining the dots of all these conspiracy theories. So we can see then with this last time Jupiter was in Gemini that there is a grand design to these conspiracy theories. But, you know, at that point, we didn't really know what the plan was. And it needed some of the detail. There they were showing us putting all those children to sleep in a hospital via the NHS. And, you know, stealing the soul of the other child. We saw all that in the ceremony. So if you're interested in that, do listen to the last episode for more detail, or go to Vigilant Citizen, Olympic symbolism or occult symbolism in the Olympics. But also more recently, we've had a Gemini North Node moving through Gemini, which takes 18 months. And we had that from May 2020 to January 2022. Now, 6th of May went in, the North Node went into Gemini, our destiny point then moved into this duality idea, the whole doorway to the world of alternative facts, fake data, lies and fabricated narratives, all coming out in this enhanced Gemini world. You know, it's like things got a little bit complicated. And the fact that the North Node stayed in Gemini from May 2020 all the way through to January 2022, kind of like really quite as the pandemic was dying, tells you all you need to know. And about the facts that were being given at that time, and the way we were kind of narratives were being held up as the truth and the way to follow, and all the arguments and debates around this. And of course, a lot of that stuff has been debunked now anyway. So, you know, but we've got to remember that when that North Node came here, it was like the focus. The North Node is where the focus, where we're all heading. And the lies that were being told, and Gemini is so good at that trickery. And even the Gemini might not even understand it as a lie when you're talking about various truths, various levels of truth in things. So, you know, and that was the idea at this point, that we were only allowed to have one truth. And it was the media, the governments, large commercial interests and big pharma were all in lockstep around what to say, what to think, what to do. And our government stood on podiums. You know, they kind of had this media presence, so Geminian, to have this media presence. And go, here I am, we're going to tell you everything you need to know. And this is what you need to know, and disregard anyone else. And their disease modelling came from policymakers who created this stuff up. But this is going to happen, so we must prevent it in this way. And the pharmaceuticals or whoever else had a stake in how we behaved during this time. So they had to create these stories. But then, of course, this is when we were all trapped in our homes, And of course, then digital, the Gemini digital world of social media and all those way we connect with each other in a non-physical human way, but in a more connective telephone, mobile phones, Zoom, and Zoom parties that we all had while we were kind of disconnected physically, that we all connected. And that's when social media and digital just had a massive explosion of all things that went online. So this was the enhancement then, the focus of Gemini. This is the future. This is where we're heading. And of course, during this time, the shadow side of the twin was desperately being hidden. You were not allowed to think of anything other than what you were being told. So that's obviously we had Pluto in Capricorn as well. But if you dared to question the narrative, you were labeled as a freak or a conspiracy theory. So this duality here that Gemini was, or the North Node in Gemini was kind of making us believe that was the way things were going to be. And this is a classic Gemini, two sides of the same coin really being promoted, or you know, you just have one side, don't have the other. Ignore the shadow. And remember also, if we've got the North Node in Gemini, or if we had the North Node in Gemini, we also had the South Node in Sagittarius, which is blind faith, or rather the times previously where we've grown up and understood that we can give our own ideas, our own beliefs up for the higher good, or we can ignore the detail, ignore the facts, and just go with the greater majority or what we have been told. So that was what was going on during that time. And it's a classic Gemini. So I think in a way, we don't have that this time around. We don't have the South Node in Gemini. So it will be slightly different, that we won't suddenly believe these things so outrageously or outright. And of course, we had the double, the North Node in Gemini and the South Node in Sagittarius. But you can see with this North Node in Gemini, South Node in Sagittarius, that this provides us with the base of where we're coming from and the focus of where we are heading. It's like a compass track that we're all heading on. And of course, now we have the North Node in Aries, the trajectory where we are questioning all those Aries ideas of basically war and more war, a couple of massive wars, and also the invasion of other people's lands. It's an outward trajectory of Aries, but also therefore mental health and also masculinity, questioning masculinity. And this comes from the South Node in Libra, where we are talking much more about relationships. And the relationships between countries, in fact, because of the wars going on. And with the North Node in Aries, as it is now, we have until January 2025, next year, to kind of focus on this, the recalibration of all things masculine, the focus on this warmongering. And then hopefully before then, we have until then, January 2025, for this focus to be very much focused on the war or wars or actually invading countries and allowing that to happen, to be the aggressor. And really, we've always thought, we always think our governments are going to be the peacemakers and not the war makers. And in January 2025, the North Node is going to move into Pisces, and that is going to be such a softer energy. We'll be glad of it, and we'll discuss that obviously nearer the time. But going back to these Gemini kind of big aspects, that more recently we had Mars going retrograde in Gemini. Mars went retrograde in Gemini on the 30th of October 2022. And, you know, that was Halloween. And at that time, there was a huge debate. It was really getting deeper and stronger, this debate about the truth or lies in social media. And there was also massive censorship going on, although maybe perhaps we didn't know it, but it came to light. It was like we went underground, as you know, the planet going retrograde can go inwards and more underground. And so therefore we understood what was really happening in the terms of censorship, or should we say how a narrative was being played out within the media, within social media that certain things and algorithms were blocking certain information and forcing other information to be much more prevalent. So Mars in Gemini was going deeper into these facts, and we could then see the lies that were being told or the narratives that were being promoted. And what is a really good example of Gemini activity and also of retrograde activity? Mars going retrograde on the 30th of October is actually when Elon Musk bought Twitter on the 28th of October. And the whole story of him buying Twitter had come to light when Mars had gone into the shadow zone, which was 8 degrees Gemini, of Gemini, of its retrograde pathway. And that was when the whole story, is he really going to buy it? Can he really afford it? I mean, inconsequential kind of numbers that we can't even fathom being kind of discussed. How does he get the money? Does he pull it out of here and put, you know, does he have backers? Well, how does that money appear? But anyway, that was going on for quite some time before he actually bought, I think, only like a 10% share, but he's the greatest shareholder, which in itself was a phenomenal change in this idea of censorship and being able to, and free speech, which is, you know, him using that as a tool to enable free speech, which is one of the things that Jupiter in Gemini is also going to be able to enhance or bring about or show us where we don't have free speech. And as soon as he did buy Twitter, you know, the media really didn't like it. They went crazy. They didn't like it because someone had just walked away with one of their toys, and they knew that Twitter become much more powerful for the people and not just for the execs or the commercial interests. And within days, we saw, I think, four execs, big execs, left Twitter. I don't know how much of that on their own accord, but then we saw, as a kind of joke, there was Elon Musk leaving those offices with the kitchen sink, to say, taking out the kitchen sink. So he knows how to play the media game. He really does. And obviously buying a huge media corporation, you'd have to. He himself has Venus and Saturn in Gemini in the 11th house. So he knows how to play this game really well for all concerned. And perhaps it is his karma to bring this about, you know, with Saturn's presence here, that he will be really taking this very seriously. And within days then, he laid off half the staff there at Twitter. You know, it was just oversubscribed anyway with staff, clearly. And he really has reduced it since. But I think for the first days, and as a kind of signpost of what he was going to do, half is a really good fraction for Gemini. It is like, it's like, get rid of half the people. So Gemini, or Mars in Gemini, because Mars likes to cut things. Mars is like, will cut through layers and go, nope, in half, completely. So this was a really good example of how Mars in Gemini and what, well, a good example of how Mars in Gemini can play out and how Mars retrograde in Gemini can play out, and how Gemini activity is very much focused on those media and connections and communications, and which is what I feel we are going to see a lot more of. And I really believe that his buying of Twitter was such a good example, because Mars in going retrograde in Gemini really followed going into the shadow where he was thinking about it and was talking about it, and then actually buying it when Mars had stationed at 25 degrees Gemini. And it stationed there for over a week around Halloween. And so just a couple of days before Halloween, he did the deal, the 28th of October. And then we were going into real retrograde kind of kerfuffle of things happening during, as that retrograde kicked off a whole kind of domino set of events. But when Mars actually left the shadow zone at the other end, he then changed Twitter to X. So Mars left the shadow zone in May 2023, and he changed the name of Twitter to X in April 2023. And it's like, now we're out of this shadow zone. Now we're out of that whole process. We can then move on to something really fresh and new. we can actually start something completely new. And that was kind of, it had to get that shadow zone out of the way. So I think that's a really good example of how a retrograde can take place and what it does. And kind of Twitter, the word Twitter sounds a bit twee now. X sounds a little bit more dynamic, even though at first probably a few of us were like, what? What's he calling it? But also at the time, of course, we had Pluto entering Aquarius for the first time in that March as well. So that was a real sort of push forward for much more futuristic ideas too. And also, just as Twitter became X in April, it was like almost as an offensive. The BBC then launched BBC Verify, you know, to fact-checked information. And how ironic is that, that they were launching Verify as it's like a blind flake, as a kind of, we are the guardians of the truth, when they're the ones that have been sort of being paid to and completely deep within the lies and narratives that have been playing out. So they kind of, I think, almost copied the idea of like, we have to take a stand here and kind of pretend or make out. I mean, I think they really do believe that they are. Well, I guess there's only a few that understand that there's a few lies being told, but the rest of the people are just in lockstep behind that, in that, I guess, South Node in Sagittarius way of believing the whole idea or allowing themselves to believe it and not question it. But now with only planets, Jupiter going through Gemini, we are able to question it. We will be able to. There will be much less blind faith, so to speak. So in this way, Gemini does bring about the focus on facts or truths, layers of truths, good or not good truths, not good, bad truths, or not truths at all. And so Gemini is the duality construct that is life in this 3D dimension and in this universe right now, that we have a duality construct. And everything is dualism in terms of it being good or bad, black or white, man or woman, north and south. And this duality was created when Adam and Eve took a bite out of that apple. And obviously, this is the apple, the tree of knowledge, as in they became aware. And that is very Geminian, as a sense of also of the Gemini suddenly becoming aware of itself, aware of the other, aware of your partner, aware of something else, aware of your mental capacity and being able to think, to look and to observe. And of course, they suddenly observed that they were naked. And that's where the fall into sin came about. And in this way, therefore, mankind is separated from God, separated from spirit, and has no memory of the oneness with God, of the feeling of spirit, and has sort of sunk into matter. This is the great separation. It's the breathing in and out, breathing into density and out of spirit into matter. And in each earth round, and I'm talking Lemuria, Atlantis, current earth, in each earth round we have the breathing into density, into matter, moving into matter, and therefore further away from spirit. And then we have the breathing out where we go back to spirit. And this is the going back to God as a choice that we make. We have free will. And of course, we are currently breathing out. We've gone past the densest point at the moment. And as I have said before, we are on our way out, but level with the Egyptians, where when we were moving on our way into density. And that is why so many of the Egyptians mummified the bodies to keep the soul attached to earthly matter. And within the tomb after death, surrounded by earthly objects, people that things that the life or the person, the soul, were familiar with in order to keep it entrapped or focused on earth. Because obviously just at that point, just want to just fly back to spirit. Spirit being the source and the whole of wonderment. And now that we are on our way out, there is a loosening of the etheric, our etheric bodies with our astral bodies and our physical bodies. So as we come out of this density in matter, And therefore, we are more able to experience or sense spirit in a more palpable fashion. And this is going to increase. And maybe you'll feel the increase over your lifetime. I know I certainly have, and I know my generation will have certainly felt that loosening and movement towards spirit. And if you're younger, you probably might not have understood that through your whole lifetime, but it is happening. And it's going to obviously happen over generations. But in the fact that we have free will and that we experience this separation, that we are now with our own intellect and our own choices, we can come back to God. And this is why we have the choice to embody the Christ codes, to embody the Christ, this which is the spiritualized energy of God and therefore of ourselves. But duality here isn't just our separation from God. It's also the duality that is within us, that we experience an idea that there is our subconscious within us and then our conscious mind. And in that we have a dual nature of a lived experience in the manifest world, that we're conscious of it. And then there's the shadow realm that we're not so conscious of. It is subconscious. And it's also where we might store unpleasant, or painful, or unresolved ideas. Where our memories, where there are memories, obviously pleasant memories as well, but ideas that we're probably kind of going to put that aside for now, and perhaps ignore it more than we ordinarily should. And of course, this subconscious realm is also a collective subconscious realm, so that therefore there are memories in the collective that we can all tap into. And that's why when you have an energy like the South Node coming in through signs, there is a collective consciousness being awoken there. It's not just your personal collective, it's not just your personal consciousness, subconsciousness, it's the collective. And of course, with Gemini being the sign of the twins, the second twin is a classic modus operandi for the Gemini to ignore that and just to flit about on the surface and ignore, where the Scorpio wants to go delving right deep into all that jazz. And being a South Node Neptune Moon conjunct Scorpio, I quite like to go into all that jazz too. So I've been reading a book recently about Lucifer, and I absolutely disagree with some of the fundamental ideas that are in that book, in so much that I feel like the author even got influenced by Lucifer just by writing about it, and he hasn't understood that. But anyway, I wanted to bring about and understand why this duality is with Jupiter coming into Gemini. I think we've got to understand a little bit more about the depth of duality and what this really means on a more esoteric level. So this is the other side that I wanted to talk about. So I hadn't quite grasped the fact, but the spiritual hierarchy in the spiritual realm had given the task of manning, supervising this realm of the shadow, the subconscious realm. The subconscious realm, as I say, that is full of our collective memories, it's not just personal, that this, so this, the spiritual hierarchy had given the job of manning this for humanity, for this era in this universe, to the fallen angels. And this, of course, includes the demonic realm or demons, who are there to manifest or obtain influence over various stages of humanity and our evolution. And they are there at each point within humanity with an appropriate guise, an appropriate magnetized kind of way of being to influence us and lead us off our course, so that there is a resistance in us to moving through our evolution and into the towards the light and back to source, that this demonic or demons prince of darkness, shall we call it, is actually pulling us astray and preventing us from evolving at the pace that we should be. But that is in it, that they're in that, it's like the fall. We are meant to resist this. We are meant to observe it and understand it. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, it's not just a, like, this is not a, like a bad game. This is for us to understand our own evolution as we take it, not just to learn these things by rote or from a book. We have to experience and resist and grow from it all. And that's what Jupiter loves. So Jupiter coming to Gemini is really going to show us this duality construct. And half of that duality, or the duality construct with the subconscious, is being looked after by demons. So this is the Prince of Darkness holding within his consciousness, and he's not necessarily a physical being, a human at this point, but the Prince of Darkness holds within his consciousness the entire shadow realm of humanity. And like I said, there's this mass collective subconscious. And as he is in charge of this and was put in charge of this by the spiritual hierarchy, he is thus, therefore, generating resistance within humanity to our soul's evolution. And one of the ways that he does this, one of his methods, and I would say he is, it's a man. It's a male energy, apparently, but everywhere I've looked, it's always talked about him as a devil, is a masculine. So I'm going to take ownership there, because there are a few, you know, let's go Kali and Lilith for the female devils. But anyway, in this, we're talking about a man. His methods are to maintain this duality construct, to make humans believe or feel this separation from spirit, and not allow us to move forward with our own, volition towards spirit and feel that oneness, that the being at one with all there is. And that's the sort of Prince of Darkness, like, are you going to resist that or put blocks in your way? And of course, we've got to overcome them. But initially, or way back in the year 666, because yes, he incarnated around that time. And so this isn't, the 666 number isn't just a joke from a film. You know, there is a devilish link to that number. In 666, he was kind of thought of as the beast or Sorat, and took on the role of the Antichrist, although there had been previous Antichrists who were born, shall we say, at the opposite side of the earth to Jesus. And there's a whole story of that around Quetzalcoatl in Mexico. But anyway, coming back to 666, the beast or Sorat at this time was particularly adept at time travel, and therefore being able to loop around and trapping humans in these karmic loops that would repeat. And when he came through in 666, he was there to propagate and enhance an advanced center of learning, which was at Gondishapur, which is now, which was then Persia, Iran now. And his idea at that time, his plan was to give humanity wisdom far in advance of their actual stage of evolution. And so therefore it would destroy itself and they become obsessed with it and move on a completely different tangent. And this is sort of akin to giving nuclear weapons to someone, a caveman, someone in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. So he was really kind of pushing the envelope here. And also in this period, he was actually working on the conscious mind of humanity, because this was a seat of real learning and it was drawing in some of the best minds in the world at that time, you know, eminent doctors, you know, people that were employed by royalty and the highest echelons of society were drawn to Gondishapur in order to discuss their learnings and find out facts within this community that was so learned. And it's like a university, but actually there was Sorat within that, consciously allowing some of this information to come forward before humanity was actually ready to deal with it. And what stopped it actually exploding, deconstructing, or whatever was about to happen, was the idea that Islam was then developed around this time. And this Islam was kind of against this huge advancements and taking us, and therefore took this community back to spirit and kind of deconstructed, therefore, the whole advanced technological knowledge that was being promoted. So there was almost like a resistance, so to speak. And that was when Islam was created and actually, therefore, defeated the beast. And so that's around 666. And if we go another 666 years, because we are going with this idea of the 666, we get to 1332. And at this point, he's actually incarnating here as Lucifer, the devil. So we've gone from Sorat, the beast, to now we're here with 1332 as Lucifer. We're calling, giving him a name, Lucifer, the fallen angel. And this is the idea of him propagating, because he's not really, he doesn't fall in the Bible. There are other scripts that mention and detail this fall from grace much more in much more detail than the Bible. But anyway, he's incarnating here as Lucifer or the devil. And he has a major influence at the time on what we would call Luciferic thought, where he was actually influencing the subconscious mind. So we've gone from the conscious actually wisdom and discussion that was openly observed and thought of to now into a subconscious influence. So it's slightly more subtle. And if you've ever come across the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters, you'll see how there's this young devil and he's writing to his older uncle devil, saying how he's trying to corrupt humanity and infiltrate them in the subconscious level. And this is obviously a little bit more subtle and pervasive, really. And of course, the idea at the time was that if you did bad things or you didn't go to church, that your soul was up for grabs, and that if you were not careful, or you know, that a devil could come along and get your soul, and then you were forever in purgatory. And it is, of course, at this time that Dante wrote the Divine Comedy, where it was the promotion of this religious ideas of that your soul was up for grabs by the devil and you had to do good things or you'd go to hell. And that is the Luciferic philosophy, and it's completely dualistic. And people lived in fear of, or being God-fearing, fear of the devil, fear of Lucifer, that he would come and attack you. And so you gave all your money and your power away to the church. I mean, it's a good game, isn't it? And look what we're doing now. And of course, the church was then being completely corrupt too. If you're thinking about the Vatican and how it was draining the resources and keeping itself in abject luxury. And this was keeping mankind in huge limitation of, like, really giving its power away to something far greater in case, you know, something bad happened to them. And or we went to hell, not just bad. And so we were kept in the slavery drudgery system, which of course is an idea on this current era that we have to move beyond. And of course, this time is the last era known, or the latter part of this era is, of course, known as the Dark Ages, when we were kept in the dark about things. But also it refers to the idea of the darkness where we don't know much about it, from the end of the Roman Empire within the UK, which happened around 500 AD to around this time, the 1300s, is the Dark Ages. So, it's like we were held back in limitation because of these ideas from Lucifer. And these Luciferic impulses generally keep man thinking that Earth is an inhospitable place. And so he strives to return to spirit, to leave, you know, to look after his soul and to go home. And the fact that he can sometimes go to this ecstatic place of spirit, but then gets depressed or sad that he can't go there, that he's trapped here on Earth in this inhospitable place. And it's an idea that heavies the soul so that a mankind can feel slightly forsaken, you know, that God hasn't looked after him and that he's not in this flow of abundance. And so this energy of this sadness, this heaviness, is not processed effectively. and it's actually stored karmically between lifetimes. And this also, the way this works is it's stored with the liver being the seat of the soul, the liver also connected to Jupiter, and a Jupiter coming into Gemini right now. You know, this is stored karmically between lifetimes in the liver and connected to the subconscious and the subconscious realm, which is the shadow realm. But of course, eventually humans, we have to connect with this and relate. And perhaps that's also why humanity as well right now is kind of abusing our livers, really. but actually we need to delve into this personal and collective subconscious to process much darker thoughts and ideas and bring them about. It's like, bring out your dead. Let's have a look. Let's not be ashamed. Let's not be shy about this. There's going to be no harm done. We need to see these things. And I think Jupiter moving into Gemini will give us this opportunity to look at that shadow side like we've never seen before. We saw it straight away last time Jupiter was in Gemini, when we had the London Olympics playing out right in front of our eyes. So I think there's going to be more of that on a quite a higher platform, so to speak. So if we add another 666 years to 1330, we come to 1998. And this time around, we have Ahriman, who is also AKA Satan. So you see this evolution that is relevant, evolution of the Prince of Darkness. So his ideas and his philosophy and his blocks to humanity's evolution are relevant to what was going on with humanity at that time. He's not the same person each time. He has evolved as we have evolved. He's got to use new tricks in his bag. And this time, Ahriman is actually, apparently, going to actually incarnate. We're actually going to get a guy, a man, you know, calling it what is. Maybe it won't be a man, but I'm just reading the texts here and none of them mention a woman. But who knows? You can always decide on the gender later. And some of these texts say Ahriman is due to incarnate sooner than humanity thinks, quote unquote. So if we think that's about to happen in the 666 rule, you know, maybe he has been born in 1998. Maybe this is happening now. Now, Ahriman, Satan, uses these Ahrimanic forces of darkness, and they use binary code to, because this is duality, it's binary code, it's in the computers. It's here around amongst us now. So you can see, wow, yeah. But this binary code isn't just within the computers. There's Ahriman uses this binary code implants to actually implant into humans to block spiritual impulses across all of mankind, but also within the individual, within individuals who are obviously susceptible. And so this blocks the average human from manifesting their thoughts. So, you know, so we, it blocks us from really feeling, or it enforces the illusion of separation, because actually we are creator beings. And this binary code implant is the block so that we cannot manifest. We don't understand that we can. In the spirit realm, a thought can be instantly manifested. You think it and it happens. And this then brings about the most beautiful creations. But of course, humanity, where we are now, we haven't cleared, mostly, haven't cleared our mental bodies and our nervous systems to have this power, you know, have this ability to instantly manifest, and we don't have the awareness. If we did, this would like really wreak havoc, as we would then be manifesting our most base desires, because you've got to think, you know, often you'll be daydreaming about some quite bad stuff. And so, that has been a block for us. One, in terms of blocking us and our connection to spirit, but also blocking us in manifesting what we really need. So there is a you know, that is part of the resistance as well that we need to overcome. And also you can see that was what was happening in Gondishapur when we were opened too readily. Because can you imagine if we suddenly had that instant manifestation skill? You know, so many of us are working so hard at trying to sort of manifest good things. But if suddenly you could manifest straight away, you'd have to watch what you were thinking quite intensely. And also here, Ahriman wants us to think we are just biology, we are just matter, and there is no spirit. And he is, Ahriman in this incarnation is Satan, which is also aka Saturn, the Lord of Karma and the Master Manifester, and who is in charge of the physical realm and physical reality. And in this way, it's denying humanity this connection with spirit. So we're thinking, oh, we're just biology, and that we can put implants into our brain to make us into superhumans, or we can take the chemicals to make us feel a certain way, or to heal ourselves and to make us more healthy. And in this way, that we're understanding that the soul or the spirit has nothing to do with our health or our journey here on Earth. We're just biology. And this is what Steiner also said, you know, that in the future times, mankind would be convinced that he could resist all disease with various pharmaceuticals, and that he would wipe out that chance of evolution within his soul that disease brings, or we obviously manifesting our own disease so that we manifest in the appropriate way, or we evolve in the appropriate way. And if you just completely wipe that out with pharmaceuticals, medications, etc., you're missing out on the chance. So you're to evolve, and therefore evaporating your soul within. And even beyond that, people think that, so many people think they're just biology, there is no soul, there's nothing beyond that. And then there's a whole more chunk of people that think that they are a personality with a soul, just happens to have a soul, but not a spirit, and there is no spirit realm. So there's different levels of disengagement with spirit. And Steiner said in one of his lectures, if the Ahrimanic beings could realize their hopes, the whole of humanity would gradually be dissolved into the earth, you know, into matter, because it's like we are, if we're just biology, we are matter. And then earth would absorb them. Finally, they would arise out of earth, and this is what Ahriman's attention is, a single great entity into which all humans would be merged. And if you imagine that, you know, this Prince of Darkness idea is in control of the subconscious realm, which is collective, there, if we just think that we are biology, we're going to merge into this ourselves, and it would be a material realm, and that we would be all united within this realm, this earth realm. But the transition to this union with the earth would resist in this. Man in his whole organized organism would become more and more like the living limestone, so we would calcify. He would blend the living limestone with his organism and become more and more calcified. We would be rocks. We would be the mineral kingdom. In this way, he would transmute his bodily form into one that looked quite different, a sclerotic form, which with something like bat's wings and a head, like really big skull-like head. And this form would then be able to merge gradually into the earthly elements, so that the whole earth, according to the Ahrimanic idea, it would become a living earth being, one being of us all merged in and solidified. So, but I have it on good authority that we're going to make it, that we are going to go beyond this, and we are going to return and understand our spirit selves, no matter how bad it gets. Ahriman is not going to win. But Ahriman and the mainstream media and the big pharmaceutical giants are really forcing this idea that we are just biology. It doesn't matter about it, you know, the soul is just a per chance thing. You know, sleep is, and our consciousness is just a way of brain working things out. And these beliefs that we are just biology has caused, you know, real havoc on the life of our souls. Because most of humanity is therefore very much asleep to their own sense of mastery and as a creator being, and their own sovereignty and their own Christ consciousness, which they can imbue and consciously and proactively imbue. And most of humanity are unaware of the trichotomy of having a body, having a soul, and there being spirit. That three aspect, not the two aspect. And on that idea of the three, not two, there is an idea that Ahriman would incarnate and perhaps as a spiritual leader. And in this way, he intends to take over the opening of the third eye of humans so that we can connect directly with our souls. And so we'll go and see this guru, for instance, and he'd open your third eye and you go, wow, I can connect with my soul. But then completely denying us access to actual spirit. And in this way, this spiritual leader who helps you achieve higher states of consciousness and perceive these higher states, which are absolutely glorious, such as you might experience in an ayahuasca ceremony, I guess. But then not allowing you to see the bigger picture of spirit and the spirit within all things, which actually that's what ayahuasca does. But, you know, if you're being led or overly kind of guided within this by someone else, you know, it's quite a bad thing. You have to make your own choices, your own discernment within this and what is right for you at every single moment. And not understanding this trichotomy, the body, soul and spirit, thinking it's just body and soul. So that when you come out of your kind of reverie or you've come back from your higher state of consciousness or you've stopped seeing what he's allowed you to see or you've finished your ayahuasca ceremony, whatever way it's going to, this takes form, or this is the warning that could take form or whatever that's been provided for you, you come back to earth and density with a thought and you think therefore that your only way to access is through these either meditation techniques or whatever it is that this potential spiritual leader could actually bring about. And so this is one of the ideas then that leads us astray. And that's why it's so important to have our own discernment and really understand that it's not just earth and me and non-matter and me. It's actually body, soul and spirit beyond that. Because if you just open your third eye and just see around you in the third eye, you can be trapped, therefore, or opening up to the lower astral. And, you know, ayahuasca is really good at opening up to the lower astral so that you see this. And that's why so many people have so many different experiences with ayahuasca. And that's why you need a good shaman to work with. And that's why also you don't just go away and go back to normal. You have to process a lot of that information that you get shown. But, you know, opening the third eye, if you haven't done the preparation or if you're guided in the wrong way, it traps you in the lower astral. And this is like an astral fog of dark memories, of pain, of things that we've ignored and just coming alive and where humans have been trapped or part of ourselves have been trapped in the lower astral. And I guess a lot of this happens where people say have had bad deaths or have been given too much drugs in a death so that they've been slightly overtaken with the earthly concerns and therefore partially not being able to move on. So this lower astral is quite a thing to behold and, you know, to have the idea that there are forces out there that would want us to see this and not go beyond it to spirit. And in this way as well, because Ahriman is using binary code and within the computer world, and of course, our computers are a good thing as well. You know, it's just how we again relate to them, our own discernment in allowing ourselves to use this technology. But there is an astral fog surrounding the world right now. And part of that is the binary code, computerized world, the digitalized world of gadgets, gaming, mobile phones, Wi-Fi, all surrounding a fog around the world. And this is preventing us moving to the cosmos, moving to spirit. And it's trapping humans in this lower astral, the world of disembodied, unfinished, retarded, and discordant beings. And this is especially relevant to children right now who are growing up in a super digitalized world where they are playing their games, they're doing their homework with using the digital world and entering into that binary code. And so it's more for them in the future to be trapped because the earthly fog or the plane around with this around Earth, the fog around this Earth isn't allowing them to access spirit. And of course, this is to the delight of Ahriman, but we do eventually have to face Ahriman. And in fact, we have to make Ahriman our bitch. We have to make our computer our bitch. We have to control it and not let us control, or let, sorry, and not let it control us. And we have to use these digitalized binary code to interface for our own ends, not for someone else's ends. And yes, take the medicine if we need it, but it's important to know that we've got to properly heal ourselves and properly access what's going on, any pain and dis-ease, not just by smothering up by pharmaceuticals, but actually going on a process with it. So yes, use the computer, but yes, use your mobile phone, but know when you're doing your doom scrolling. And I think there's going to be a lot more of that with Jupiter in Gemini. You know, our addictions to this, addictions to the digital world, coming to the fore quite in a very real way. And so I'm saying here, don't get the brain chip. But coming back to Gemini, who is very the king, you know, has this special division of conscious and subconscious, that this duality idea with the fall was given to the developing Earth through the star system of Gemini. It was almost streaming to Earth through Gemini, through the star system of Gemini, and was making use of the animal group of the spiders, the spider realm, who actually make karmic cords and webs to entrap us. It's very much, you know, the almost like the physical realm. Spiders being the physical realm of the physical idea of how karmic cords work. If you can see how cobwebs form and, you know, where energy is stuck or hasn't moved. And spider webs, they do look like these fine gossamer cords to us. But actually, in reality, if you put your hand in them trying to clear them, they're quite difficult to clear away. They're quite sticky. And, you know, don't be a fly, of course. In a future stage, which is the end of the fifth root race, we are going to have to face this as humanity. We're in the fourth root race now. So it's all wild. Don't have to worry about it. Just do now. But we do have to prepare for this, because at that point, the subconscious realm collapses into the conscious realm so that we can see the shadow. It's no longer hidden. It's no longer subconscious. It's conscious. So all these darker ideas are right in front of us. And it's also when people won't be able to hide their thoughts within their faces. They're not going to be able to smile and hide what they're really thinking if they're thinking something completely different. So if humans at this point haven't addressed their shadow or their subconscious karma, some of that those ideas, those thoughts in their head will be precipitating into material form as a spider, as the most hideous spider brood around them. You know, that if you don't control it, the spider brood gets heavy. It's not just a spider, it's more spiders. It's kind of like that creeping, cobwebbing way of the subconscious coming into reality. So this isn't just a scary movie. This is possible process for all humans to go through. And so this is how the spider world would be represent the in a physical way, previously unseen and previously ignored karmic issues. This is why it's so imperative that we address this darker side of ourselves, not just for our own personal growth and gain, that we actually miss the shadow, or sorry, we actually meet with our own shadow aspect. Whether that is in the personal sense or the collective, we have some responsibility within the collective. And therefore, we can prevent such a horrific potential playing out. So I think Jupiter in Gemini is not just this increase in media and fun and flirting. There is real work to be done here. That if our own personal sort of shadow comes out to play during this, that we do have to carefully address it, process it, take responsibility for it, because it will, you know, run and run in future humanities. And of course, we want to make Araman our bitch. So I will leave you with that thought. I want to thank you so much for listening. And if you have any thoughts, ideas about this or concerns, please contact me. I'd be happy to discuss this further. So just remember, from the in time, as above, so below, as within, so without, so the soul, as the universe. So blessings to you all. Thank you.